We're going to have a second in our series looking at our vision, and today looking at growing whole life, lifelong disciples. But first let's pray. Lord Jesus, will you meet with us in a really precious way this morning? Will you turn our hearts more towards you and teach us more what it means to walk with you through the whole of life? Amen. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. These beautiful words from the Message translation of the Bible are really special words to me. And I know they're really special words to some of you here too as well. They're words which I think more than anything summarize beautifully the invitation that each of us has from Jesus to be his disciples, to follow him. They remind us that it's not at all about being religious. For many of us, as these words say, are burnt out on religion, if we're honest. They remind us too that it's not about following a set of rules or even a particular philosophy, but that being a disciple is about following a person, about being with a person, about learning from a person, about becoming more like a person. And that person is Jesus. Walk with me and work with me, Jesus says. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And if you were here 3 years ago, you'll remember that we did a really important sermon series and life group material on the rhythms of grace, which I know was very significant for many. And what we're doing today is we're not reinventing that, but reinforcing and building on that. For growing disciples is such a key part of our vision here at St. Andrew's and All Saints. And it's a key part of our vision because, most importantly, it was a key part of Jesus's vision. And that is why the very last thing recorded in Matthew's Gospel is Jesus' command to his disciples to go and make disciples. Not go and make churchgoers. Not go and make busy people getting involved in a load of church activities, but go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, the really interesting thing is that Jesus could have conducted his mission so differently, couldn't he? He could have done it all by himself. He could have simply preached to the crowds and performed his miracles by himself and transformed many. But Jesus chose a different path. God chooses a different path. He chose to invite others, to train others, to grow others, to partner with him, to continue his mission long after he'd gone back with his Father. And an even better thing about that is that the people Jesus chose to do this were, as it says in the book of Acts, ordinary, unschooled men. And I'll add women as well. And if Jesus can use them, then he can use any one of us. Over these last couple of weeks, I've been reflecting at the start of this year and the start of this decade on my role here. And now I'm even more convinced than ever as I've prayed about it that my key role here is as a discipler. As someone who more than anything does my best to help each one of you grow as a follower of Jesus. Why? Because if we get that right, then all of you will be doing the mission and not me. And you know, the lovely thing as I look back on what's happened over the last year is I've seen that in action. The most significant mission that's been done by this church, CAP, the bereavement coffee mornings, the Octagon, Youth Alpha, I've had nothing to do with. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant that actually you guys have said, actually, I'm so passionate about this God that I know that I'm going to do what he's calling me to do. And that's our job. That's the job of the staff team here, is not to do all the work, but as it says in Ephesians 4, to equip the people for works of service. But it's not just the staff, it's not just the life group leaders, it's not just other ministry leaders who are called to be disciples, but each and every one of us is called to become disciples who make other disciples. So I want us to think a little bit more about what a disciple is this morning. And as I've been reflecting on this over previous months, I've come to a new definition for me of what a disciple is, which I hope is simple and helps us become all that what God wants us to become. And I want to talk about three-dimensional discipleship. It's about learning to upwards dimension, be with Jesus, to know him and to walk with him. An inwards dimension, learning to become more like Jesus in our character. And an outwards dimension, learning to live like Jesus in our contexts, on our front lines. You know, last week we particularly talked about the top one, the being with, which is so key to the other two parts. And before we go on, I'd love you just to pause and think, how have I done with being with Jesus this week? In prayer, in reading the Bible. How are your rhythms of time with God going so far this year? I just want to say, if you had good intentions last week but haven't managed it this week, you know, it's all right. It's not too late. Start afresh again this week. And actually, there are loads of resources on the welcome desk, and there's even more resources than last week, as Heather very kindly has gone and got us an old copies. If you prefer printed stuff to electronic stuff, old copies of Bible notes that are only a month or so out of date now, that are there for free, and a whole selection. Go and have a look at those and anything else on the welcome desk, and take whatever's there that's going to help you do that up dimension with Jesus. But I want to particularly talk this morning about actually the second and third ones. Firstly, becoming more like Jesus. I came across this yesterday after I'd finished my sermon on Facebook. Makes you think, doesn't it? Because actually becoming more like Jesus might not always be what we think it is. Particularly if you're a sailor, you like the last one. You know, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So talk about we are in the process of becoming more like Christ. But I think the danger is that so often we focus more on what we are doing for God. But I think God actually is much more interested not in what we are doing for him, but who we are becoming. I remember Paul Swan, who came and spoke to us a couple of weeks ago. He says this, he said, remember, you are a human being, not a human doing. And you know, the most important thing is who we are being, who we are becoming. That's why I think the New Testament talks so much about love. Because more than anything, we're called to be people who love God and love others. And so I want to ask you a first question this morning. Not how are you doing, but how are you being? If we think back to this time last year, has our character changed? Have we become any more like Jesus in the way we interact with people and the way we respond to situations? Are our reactions to difficult people in difficult circumstances more like Jesus' reactions than they were a year ago? We're all a work in progress, aren't we? And I certainly am. But I think the danger is it's really hard to know how do we become different. I think it's easy to say, I'm going to go and do this stuff. It's easy to know how to do rather than how to be. So the question is, how can we help each other become more like Jesus? Well, I want to give three suggestions. Firstly, it's about spending more time with God and reflecting on what would Jesus do in each circumstance. Because I think that there's something about the more we are with someone, the more I think we become like them. Now, I love at Christmas time meeting a lot of your grown-up children who've left the nest and looking at them and thinking, seeing the connections between them and you and the family characteristics. It's great fun. And this year, I had a really interesting experience with Paul Hunt, our retired vicar up at All Saints, his children, who are grown-up. And they all came on Christmas, four of them came on Christmas Eve at the midnight service. Now, if you know anything about Paul, certainly Paul does it to me, and he probably does it to you. Paul says a lot to me. He says, well done, Dave. Thank you so much. Well done, Dave. Thank you so much. And he's such an encouragement at those times about little things. And as I met each of his girls on the way out at Christmas Eve service, they each said to me, thank you so much, Dave. Well done. And I looked at them and I just had a little giggle. And I thought, you've been with your father, haven't you? You see, when we're with people, we become like them. And the more time we spend with God, with Jesus, particularly, I think, reading the Gospels, the more we will become subconsciously, without us even realizing, like them, and our reactions will be Jesus' reactions. And that's why that being with is so important. But secondly, a practice which I found really helpful is the practice of reviewing our day with God. And I've talked about this before, and if you want to grab a little leaflet, there's little green leaflets on the welcome desk on the way out. Something I found helpful is just to spend 10 to 15 minutes, often I do this lying in bed last thing at night, playing back the day with Jesus. And saying, where have I thought and acted like Jesus today? And being really thankful and thank God for it. And then thinking, where have I not reacted as Jesus would have wanted me to? And then confessed, and then actually asked God what I need to act differently the next day. And you know, I've found that process really helpful. It's an old process, Ignatian spirituality, called the examen. It comes from, I've done a simpler version here. If you want to do that, I encourage you to go and do that and try that. And linked in with that, I think the third thing is are we praying specifically for things about our character, about the fruits of the Spirit in our character? You know, maybe I encourage you to identify one thing in the next few weeks to specifically pray for about your character which you want God to change. Maybe actually you find yourself getting really angry at certain situations. And what you need to pray is, Lord, will you give me that fruit of the Spirit of self-control and peace? And pray that every day and see how you change. Maybe actually you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody. Maybe what you need to pray is, God, will you give me a forgiving heart to them? Because actually we can't change our characters on our own. We need to ask God to change us and to transform us. There's something of how do we become more like Jesus. But thirdly, it's how do we live like Jesus would in our context, on our front lines, on the places we are, where we are in the week. And I want to ask us all this question. How would Jesus live if he were us in our life, in our context? Because the great news is that we don't have to be Jesus. We are not the Messiah. We do not have to save everybody, but what we are called to be is act like Jesus would where he has put us. How would Jesus deal with the challenges we have? How would he act to the people around us? What would his values and priorities be if he was us? As a parent, as a grandparent, as a son or daughter with elderly relatives, as a worker in our workplaces, as a neighbor in our communities, as a friend. It's that old adage, isn't it, of what would Jesus do, which I think is so helpful to consider wherever we find ourselves. We're to seek to live like Jesus would if he were us in our own unique circumstances. This week I've been away on retreat for a couple of 48 hours. Alistair's been looking after the kids. I've been away with 8 people that I trained with at Theological College 10 years ago. We meet once a year at this time to spur each other on, to share our stories, to share what's God doing, to listen to God for each other. And we did this with each other. Each of us gets about 50 minutes to share over the 48 hours. And one of the guys, particularly this year, just shared with us a really tough situation he was facing to do with one of his teenage daughters who had gone off the rails just before Christmas. And you could see as he was sharing it, he was in tears and his heart was broken. And he said to us, he says, how do I respond in a Christ-like manner in this circumstance? And we as a load of guys sat down and we listened to God and we prayed and we asked for words, we asked for pictures, and we particularly reflected together on the story of the prodigal son. And we prayed for him, we just shared what we shared, what we've been given. And he went away encouraged, and he went away with some ideas as to what it means to go and live life in that circumstance as Jesus would, and to react well in that season, in that place. And I think this is what it's all about. We're called to live as Jesus would, in the places, in the issues, with the problems that we face. But we need each other to do that, as I'll talk more about later. And also it's about seeking to live like Jesus in our context, on our front lines, and we're going to say more about that in a fortnight. I'm not going to dwell on that today. Where we're called to stand out and shine like stars, as we've been talking about today, for Jesus in those places. So what is it mean to be a disciple? It means an upwards dimension, learning to be with Jesus. An inwards dimension, learning to become more like Jesus. An outwards dimension, learning to live like Jesus would if he were us. And so I want to ask really, how are you doing? How am I doing on that journey of discipleship? Because discipleship is a journey. It's a lifelong journey. It's a journey with lots of twists and turns, and my life looks like the one on the right. I would love to meet anyone who thinks theirs is the one on the left. Tell me the secret. But you know, that's all right. It's all right to acknowledge the ups and downs, the places where we sometimes go forward and the places where we sometimes go backward and the places where we get stuck. But God's with us and we're with each other on that journey. And the question is, how can you grow as a disciple in the coming months? And how can the church support you in your growth? A few years ago, a big church in America, Willow Creek, decided to do some research about what helps people grow in their faith. And they surveyed the whole congregation and then lots of other churches. And what they found surprised them. Because they thought that what they were going to find was a link between how much activity a person did in church and how much they grew. But what they found that there was no direct link between how busy people were in church activity and how their faith grew. But what they did find was this, which they called a spiritual continuum. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but basically they found sort of different, identified specific stages of spiritual growth. And they found people in their churches in different places, in different stages there. And they found, more importantly, that what people needed in those different stages was different. They didn't need a one-size-fits-all model. Particularly people on the left-hand side who were just exploring Christ, what they needed more than anything was to connect up regularly with church and join an equivalent of a life group and understand some key beliefs about being saved by faith, etc. But what helped people in the stages to the right, the more mature Christians, was actually more than anything they needed to learn to live their faith outside of the church. They needed to learn what it meant to share their faith. They needed to learn to minister in different contexts. But what was interesting was that what was consistent throughout was that in every single group, a thing that made massive impact was daily reflection on Scripture. Wherever you were in your journey, that was something that made a massive difference. And so the discipleship strategy group of this church have been looking at this over and reflecting on this over the last year. And we've been working on developing our own version of this, which I've given you a copy of today on your yellow sheets. And we've de-Americanized it, and we've put it in our own language. And what we've also done is we've created on the right-hand side some suggestions of possible next steps. So taking this research that Willow Creek did 10 years ago and saying, actually, if this is where you find yourself at the moment, these things might be the particular things that might help you at this moment in time grow and move on. I'm not going to go through it in detail now. I'm going to leave it with you and really encourage you to go away and spend some time looking at it, and there'll be time to look at it in life groups this week. But what you will notice on the middle pages of it, if you've got it in front of you, is that the bottom, I've added an extra bottom line. And that extra bottom line says this, stuck, or grown cold. And you know, this was something that the original survey found, that 25% of those surveyed said they were stuck or dissatisfied in their faith. They were feeling a bit like this picture here, that they were going nowhere. And you know, when you get into this place, actually, you can't get out on your own. You need a tow truck to come and yank you out, don't you? And sometimes in our faith journeys, we will get stuck. I've been there in recent years. And what we need to do at those times, we need to hold our hands up and say, you know, I'm stuck. I'm not moving on. Something is making me stuck, and I need help. And I need someone to journey with me. And yeah, that's the beauty of why we're given each other, because, you know, as someone said, the plural of disciple is church. You see, we're given each other to journey with each other, because we're not meant to journey on our own, but to spur one another on, to help each other when we get stuck and going nowhere, to inspire and encourage each other to be more like Jesus. And you know, that's why we encourage each and every person to join a life group. And if you're not in a life group, I really encourage you, even for this season, just try it and talk to Val. Where's Val? Val, give us a wave in yellow over there. Talk to Val or I afterwards and we'll connect you up. Or meet with a few other Christians. This might be in addition to a life group, what I like to call discipleship buddies. Someone actually who's regular, you can just share with each other, read scripture together, speak into each other's lives, pray for each other, just like I've been doing with my group of guys this week. But in the next few months, what we want to do is we want to offer something else too, particularly in Lent. And that's the chance to have what we're calling a one-to-one discipleship conversation with a church leader, or particularly maybe your life group leader, maybe for an hour over a coffee, that's all. Where particularly if you're stuck, but not just limited to those people who are feeling that, someone who can come alongside you and listen and pray with you and encourage you and together help you discern what next step might I be able to take which will help me to get unstuck. And I'm also going to be doing a seminar Sunday in February on how to get unstuck, February the 16th. And I hope that stuff will be useful to you, many of us here, in the coming weeks, and more of that to come, but look out for that and think, is that going to be helpful for me? And so finally, how else can the church help you grow? Well, the Discipleship Strategy Group has also been doing some great work over the last year and designed a simple discipleship survey, which actually you've all been given out today. And we'd love to invite you in a moment to fill that in. Don't start yet, as the teacher says. And you know, it's particularly designed, I think it's really important to understand why we're doing this. This isn't to make anyone here feel guilty, to make anyone here compare, this is where I am against anybody else. It's particularly designed so that we as church leaders here can get a better picture of where as a whole we are as a church in our discipleship journey, and how we can better equip and support you to grow as a disciple. What courses to run, what teaching programs we need to do, what sessions at Seminar Sunday we need to put on. You know, if we can know where everybody is in general, we can help disciple you better. So actually, this survey is utterly anonymous. Oh, don't mean to leave any markings which might send it back to you. It's really important that actually it's about where you are today, not where you were 6 months ago, not where you feel you ought to be because you've been to church for 20 years, but where you are today. It's really important to answer it honestly for your sakes and for our sakes. And we hope as you fill this in, as we fill this in, and I filled mine in, mine's in the box, don't go and nick mine out, is actually that it will help us self-reflect on where am I in my journey and perhaps what might the next step be. And what we're going to do is we'll feedback the results probably at APCM in April. We'll feedback them, and that will, they will be fed into our teaching and preaching and discipleship stuff. So we're going to pray in a minute, but what I'd love to invite you to now, and I think it will take about 3 minutes, is I'd love you to get your questionnaires, get your surveys. There are pens in the, should be in the pockets of the central rows here. Should be 6 pens in each pocket. There's some up here for the front rows too. And I'd love just in silence, without looking over your neighbour and seeing what they're writing, but just to give you a few minutes, if you'd like. No one's forced to do this. And if you're a visitor here, you know, we'd love to have you filling it in as well, because it's important for us to know what visitors in the church, where they're at, and how we can speak into you as well. But no one needs to do it, but if you would love to, I'd love to give us 3 minutes now just to reflect. And then we're going to pray and sing. If you need a pencil, if you need sheets, just stick your hand up and people will bring them round.